tithes, offerings, giving, budget. Aren't you glad you're here? You know, I was taught when I went to seminary, every professor I ever had in any class said, when you deal with money, budgets, giving, don't mention it in the church. Avoid it, hide from it, and if you do have to mention it, gently mention it and run. You know, that was just a lie. That was false teaching. My professors were simply wrong. I believe a better model, and it's a biblical model, is that we should celebrate stewardship in the church as a family. We are a community of faith, and we have been given the privilege to participate in something that is incredible, that is wonderful, and that is worthy. And I just can't keep silent. I think that's a much better model than simply ignoring and running from it. And I base that model on what Paul said, 2 Corinthians. I hope you have your Bible. A familiar text, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Listen to how the Apostle Paul addresses giving to a church as he reflects on another group of believers. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then, by the will of God, also to us. We urge you, Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. Listen, verse 7. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love you have kindled for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Did you get some of those words that Paul wrote in this letter to these in Corinth? Talking about the Macedonians, they overflowed in joy, rich generosity, entirely on their own, exceeded the expectation, urgently pleaded for the privilege to participate. They excelled in the grace of giving. Not once did Paul say they gave out of duty, they gave out of obligation, they gave thinking God would get them, they gave because if they didn't, they would burn. No, the Apostle Paul acknowledged that these believers in Macedonia, they just got it. Because of their relationship to God, they couldn't help but participate. They got it. And Paul wanted those in Corinth that he's writing to, he wanted these believers to get it as well. And I wondered, do we get it? They gave. They gave as much as they could. And probably, Paul says, they gave more than they should, more than they probably could and should, and all of it was without any arm twisting at all. It was a grace of giving that flowed out of their relationship with God, who was a work in their lives, and so they gave. Now, in the Bible that you have in your lap, or at your home, or in the pew Bibles, there are about 500 verses in Scripture that deal with prayer. A lot of verses, 500 on prayer. And there are over 500 verses in Scripture that use the word faith. And there are 1,500, Walker County, 1,500 verses that deal with giving or money or possessions. 40% of what Jesus taught that the Gospels reflect, 40% more than anything else Jesus talked about, was not heaven and not hell. It was giving and money and possessions. See, my professors at seminary were just wrong. Or maybe they corrected themselves on one of those days that I skipped class. Could have been. I love the biblical model. The biblical mandate to boldly enjoy, to encourage biblical stewardship. So I want to do it. This morning, let's talk money and finance and budget as it relates to our church. The 2022 proposed budget is available out at the welcome desk. If you want a copy, they're out there. You can pick them up. Those budgets have been prepared over a number of months. Our budget process deals with a budget committee, a finance committee. Our deacons and our trustees have all looked at the budget. The budget comes from the missions committee and the personnel committee and the staff. This Wednesday night, as a church, we will vote on accepting or rejecting, adopting that budget. Now, a church budget answers, who are we? That's what the budget is. Who are we and what are we about and how do we plan to do what we want to do in the next year? A church budget is a ministry and mission plan for the church in the coming year. Sometimes we see a budget and it's just numbers and we think, oh, expenditures and receipts. No, the money follows the mission. Our 2022 budget, $1,545,330. It's an increase of this current year's budget of $46,000. Our budget, your budget as a church, falls into four categories: missions, ministry, personnel, and operations. So let me talk about it. Missions. This church has loved missions and has done missions and has given to support missions for its entirety. About 8% of our church budget proposed is dedicated to missions. Missions globally and missions locally. We give a portion of our dollars to our mission partners around the world and throughout the United States and throughout Texas. But there's been a great paradigm shift that has happened in our church in the last few years, and that is we began to say, what are we doing locally with our local mission partners? And I am so proud that of that $123,000 for missions, $81,000 stays right here in our community. For example, $7,000 we will give to the Mosaic Center, a wonderful entity where women in our community are being encouraged and provided with learning skills and being all of that covered in the gospel. We'll give that same amount to the Christian Men's Job Corps, doing the same thing, taking men and women where they are and not giving a hand out but a hand up to provide for them. And yes, we're providing for those who are hungry. $12,000 we will give to two of our local food banks. Every Sunday, when you give an offering, you're helping. You're helping those in our community. We're reaching out to those who are hungry. Some of our other partners, Buckner Family Pathways, $7,000. Pregnancy Help Center, Second Helpings, our Second Sacks, where boys and girls on the weekends get a sack of food to take home with them. We partner with our school, Herdy, our Herdy Primary, as our public school that we will partner. We'll give $2,000 to help them in their ministry. We partner with CISC. We partner with GodTel. On and on. Missions is who we are. We'll also provide money for disaster relief, which we've used every year, not knowing what that looks like in the year ahead. We'll be going to the Rio Grande Valley and working with Buckner Benevolence to build a home with a couple who've already been approved, who for a number of years have been sitting and waiting and going through classes on finance and management, who we'll get to partner with during spring break. Missions, 8% of what you give to your church goes directly to missions. And then there's ministry. Ministry is what we do in-house. You say, well, what are those? 6%, about $100,000, we'll spend on ministries this next year. I don't have to explain to you what those are. You see them every week. Every week when we come to worship, that wonderful choir, this orchestra, this band, all of that music, all of that happens. What we do in worship is funded through our ministry budget. Remember a few weeks ago when the stage was filled with young families and children, the parent-child dedication? Our preschool children family ministry is funded by you to reach out to families. Our graduates, I wish you could see our youth on Wednesday night. You know, they're kind of tucked away in their great new youth room, but they're doing ministry and they're doing worship, and they're going to Sonic and having a good time as well. 2 weeks ago on Halloween, we went out into our community. Those things take money, and we were so glad to reach out to our community in this block party new idea, and it was so successful. And you made that happen to our community by giving. The choir in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, John, celebrate. Probably the largest event, except for Easter, that we do as a church is that wonderful Christmas worship celebrate time. It's in the evening. We use New Beginnings Baptist Church partners with us, and the sanctuary will be filled. And it takes money to make all of that happen. And it's a gift that we give to our community. Ministries, 6% of our budget. Yes, we're going to eat together next week, and we're going to pay for it, and it's going to be good, and it's worth it because it's church fellowship. When there's a death, we provide a meal. You think, the meal just says we love you. And what says we love you more than Brookshire's fried chicken? We love you, and we want to, for just a small time, walk with you. This morning, our special needs, adults with special needs, 20, 30, 40 adults for over 40 years, every Sunday morning, who come to this church and have church. Those adults, I wish you could see their face. You should some Sunday go back and look in the game room. These adults, who we give them just a week, just an hour a week, where they sing and they drink Kool-Aid and they eat cookies, and they may stick some of those cookies in their pocket. And what a ministry. Wednesday nights, we meet and do spiritual growth. We do discipleship, and we're going to be doing more of that every Sunday. You know, our largest expenditure is literature for Bible study. $11,000 is what you take your Sunday school quarterly or your mature living or whatever. That all costs dollars, but aren't we glad that we can provide those helps to families and individuals? Our largest expenditure by far is personnel, 58%. If you take personnel, missions, and ministry, that's about 75% of our budget. And unapologetically do I thank God for the portion that you give that we can have the personnel we have. That's ministers, support staff, custodial, kitchen, Mother's Day out, and nursery. Thanks be to God that we have the staff that we have to help us do the mission and the ministry that we've been called to do. So often in the church, when a minister or someone retires, we have some cookies and punch and say, good job, thanks for being here for the last 10, 20, 30 years. And that's good. Or we fire someone and say, get out, here's some dollars, please go quickly. But we started this year, and the personnel committee has helped us, saying, no, that's a terrible model. Let's recognize staff and employees at year 5 and 10 and 15 and 20, etc. So we recognized Walker and his family. We sent them to Disney, but they came back. But they went, and it was so good to do that. For 20 years, this year, Delise McIlvain has sat right here. Delise, come up here. Come up here. Hang on to the rail. 20 years.
You didn't tell me.
No, I didn't tell you. Now, have you ever seen anyone who can play the piano and sing at the same time? She does it well. You're not going to Disney. But here's enough to get you and Scott to Zavala to eat out. So we love you and appreciate all that you do for First Baptist Church. Watch out. Watch out. That's what we want to do, and it is a small token. We're going to also, in a few weeks, our church custodian, Patty, 15 years. Patty has cleaned our building and has worked here. She worked full-time at Hudson in the cafeteria. Then she had come here and work. She's now been with us full-time. She doesn't know, but we're going to give her a check for 15 years. That's what we as a church family are about. So I've told the staff, don't think you're all going to Disney. But we are going to recognize 5 and 10 and 15-year anniversaries. We are so blessed to have a church staff doing what they're doing. And I know as a church, you appreciate them. So that's 75% of our dollars. Missions, ministry, and personnel. And the last 25% is operations and our debt payment. You know, there are things in operations that we never... What in the world was IT and networking? We used to not have to budget for IT, but that's $23,000. Office equipment, contracts, maintenance, $27,000. Here's a great thing. Our electricity will pay $20,000 less than we paid 3 years ago because now we have new air conditioning units that are more efficient. So there are very few things that go down in life in a church, but when your electricity and your gas bill go down by $20,000, we give thanks. You know, every time you give an offering, of course, it keeps our lights on. Hey, we're getting new carpet. It's here. It's in. The stage is being redone. We're going to have new carpet just in time to have Christmas Eve and to spill candle wax all over it. It's going to be here. We are so excited for that. Again, those are dollars that you've given that we've been able to hold back some of those in order to provide things like a carpet. Operations. Our debt. You know, we didn't have any debt. We built our new building. Thanks be to God, over $5 million. We borrowed $3 million. Last year at this time, we still owed about $3 million. This year, now when you give your tithe and offering, about $8,000 a month we apply to our debt. We then pull the others from a special account. For some of you are giving above and beyond. Many of you are giving above and beyond what you give through your regular offering. That above and beyond for our building, we believe that by the end of this year, if you keep giving, from now to the end of this year, we will have paid almost $1 million of our debt away in 1 year. That is phenomenal. Phenomenal. $1 million of debt principal because you've given. Now, don't make me out a liar. Please give between now and the end of the year that we continue. We're going to burn that note sooner than we ever thought if we're faithful. Henry Nouwen is one of my favorite authors, scholar, and pastor. Nouwen wrote this, "I ask for money standing up, not bowing down, because I believe in what I am about. I believe that I have something important to offer." Like Nouwen, without apology, I invite you to be a part of the mission in the ministry, the vision, the family called First Baptist. Paul said again, verse 7, "But since you excel," and you do, "since you excel in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in earnestness, in love, see to it that you also excel in the grace of giving." When I look across our congregation, you look a lot like the Macedonians to me. most of you, I know, overflow in joy. And I see the result of your rich generosity. Not each individual, I see no results, but I know at the end of the month, that rich generosity that you have given to you who are faithful in supporting our budget and our church by that offering, keep on. Encourage others you know to experience that joy. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Being able to be a part of something bigger than we are, to be a part of the kingdom of God, to be a part of what God is doing in Lufkin and beyond, to be a part of a church and not just to attend and show up, but to say, I support, I'm a part, a real part. And if you're not giving, do join us. I promise you, your life will never be the same. Shall we pray? God, you have blessed us as a church and many in this room. You have blessed individually, financially, and all of us, like the widow in the Gospels, can give something. You have given and given and given. It's time that we took responsibility and maintained responsibility and just gave back, not out of obligation. Not that you're going to get us if we don't. But like the Macedonians, we can't help but give. We first give ourselves to you. We first give ourselves to you. And then we give to others exceedingly, abundantly, excelling in giving. Oh God, you're so good to us. We want to be faithful. We thank you for those who've gone before us, who set the pace, who gave that we might enjoy. Now let us join them and excel in this grace of giving. Yes, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. That's